Buying a car in Carvana was so easy. I was able to finance it through them.
Whoa, wait, you mean finance?
Yeah, finance. Got pre-qualified for a Carvana auto loan, entered my terms, and shopped from thousands of great car options all within my budget.
That's cool that financing through Carvana was so easy.
Financed. Done. And I get to pick up my car from their Carvana vending machine tomorrow.
Financed.
Right, that's what I said.
You can spend time trying to pronounce financing, or you can actually finance and buy your car today on
Carvana.
Financing subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply.
Face is one.
I have two. Empty garbage before dad flips.
Oh, yeah.
And that's great. And every good boy deserves fudge.
Right. And that's the one that people made dirty.
Well,
now that I'm
saying it, I guess.
Yeah, you know.
Ugh.
If you know, you know. Hey, I'm Mark.
Hey, I'm Nicole.
And this is Never Mind the Music.
What are we going to talk about today, Mark?
Episode 3 of our 3-part gripping serialized terminology dump.
I think we need like a catchier name.
Yeah. Maybe I'll just ask ChatGPT for an answer on that. You're right, though. I do not have a catchy name. We will come up with a catchy name for these bonus episodes. Or not. Or it'll just be bonus episode Music 101 Week 2. Today, we are talking about pitch.
Nice.
Okay, so sort of what notes you're playing. In our previous episodes, last time we talked about rhythm and form. Mm-hmm. Before that, we talked about articulation and texture, all that stuff. We're talking today basically about the frequencies of sound waves. Think of this as melody and harmony. So we talked a little bit in our first bonus episode about what melody is. And so when we talk about melody, we're talking about pitches arranged linearly in time with a rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
So what I mean by that is sort of think horizontally in time, like a melody is a note and then another note and then another note set to a rhythm. And the melody of a song is the most important of these lines. You might have 7 melodies happening at once in a song, but the one that you say that's the melody, the tune, is the one that is loudest, the one that sticks in your head the most, right?
Yeah, just like melody on TV's Hey Dude.
Do not remember the names of anything. We talked about Hey Dude on another podcast briefly.
Hey Dude.
I used to be a fan. I don't remember anything about
Danny
it.
Danny and Brad.
Was there a guy named Jake?
Yeah, he was the cute one.
That's the only one.
But like the trouble
one.
He was the troublemaker. Right. He wanted to get with Brad, but she was so uppity, such a horse girl.
Wait, Brad was a
Brad.
1980s she was, girl?
Yeah, she was like the horse girl of Hey Dude.
That's very millennial of them to have like that kind of gender subverted name.
You think? Bradley.
I don't feel like the Gen X-y era people had as many.
Was it Brad?
There weren't like girls named Thomas back in the 80s, but now you might. Anyways, this is stupid.
Was her name Brad, though?
I don't know. That doesn't sound familiar, but again,
I only
remember one character's name.
God, Mark, can you stay focused for once?
That's right. Yeah, not at all. Okay, so harmony, though, is notes playing at the same time.
Yeah.
So think of that as vertical notes.
It's like, the string theory.
No comment. I already don't know anything about it. You mentioned it in an earlier episode.
I'm really trying to get you going on string theory.
We'll have to come back to that in season 2.
Okay.
So harmony is chords, right? Sometimes people say, a harmony part, and they mean like a backup singer singing along with the lead singer. That's a harmony too, but in music theory, the term harmony means chords, right? So a harmony singer is singing chords basically with the melody.
They can't sing the chords by themselves.
Well, there are methods of singing.
What?
Tibetan throat singing.
Okay.
Remember, we talked about that.
We did. We're not going to do it again.
Not really chords, but it's multiple notes at once.
Yeah. It's like
so,
the didgeridoo of the voice. I'm trying to make a lot of similes. Just let's keep going.
I'm either
going to
cut it or I'm not. It depends on the vibe when I edit this. Okay. So classic 90s Coolio Gangster's Paradise.
Oh, this is my teaching pump up jam.
Here we go. Get ready to teach then, because this is the hook of that song. You're going to hear a melody and behind it chords. So the melody is this line. And then behind it, we have chords, and those chords are performed by strings. There's a Stevie Wonder sample happening, and also the backup singers, the choir. And together they make this.
So good. And Michelle Pfeiffer, like AC Slater's the chair and sits backwards on it.
I don't actually even know if I ever saw the movie. I just saw that music video so many times.
I think it's just the music video for me.
So what is that, like eighth grade or something? Maybe even earlier than that.
I like definitely it's part of my teacher jam playlist for some reason.
You got to grow up to be the Fife. You knew at that time.
Just I know. We have such striking similarities.
Yeah. All right. So we write notes in Western music notation. Western music meaning the stuff that grows out of old European stuff. We write music on something called the staff, which is five lines in the modern era with symbols at the beginning. You mentioned one of these called the G clef, right?
Mm-hmm. Or the treble clef.
The treble clef, as some people call it.
You know that there's a bass clef, too.
There's a bass clef. There's a tenor clef, an alto clef.
What? I didn't know that.
Some of these around. We're not going to talk about because we're not learning how to read music in this class.
Oh, man.
That's a different. Oh, this is on this podcast. This is not a class. We call the clefs, which is the clé, I guess, is the clé. French word for key, allegedly.
Oh, that's cool.
Basically, the clef just tells you which note is which, right? Because you could put a note on the middle of the staff and it could be a D or an F or a B or whatever, based on which clef you're on.
Can I ask you?
Yes.
What acronym did you learn to learn the different like areas of that?
Like clef? The Every Good Boy Does Fine or Dirty Versions that my high school friends came up with.
Yeah.
I don't remember because I don't remember being a fifth grader.
Oh.
I don't know. I remember which one, but I know those acronyms for sure. Like, was there one? FACE is one.
FACE is one. I have two, empty garbage before dad flips.
Oh, yeah.
And
that's great.
And every good boy deserves fudge.
Right. And that's the one that people made dirty.
Well,
now that I'm
saying it, I guess.
Yeah, you know.
Ugh.
If you know, you know.
Gross.
So we use in the West, and I keep saying this because in the West, we have used seven letters to name the pitches. A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Frequency is infinitely variable. Like in modern Western music, we say 440 cycles per second for a wave. So that 440 hertz is an A above middle C. But 441 hertz is not a note we would track, but that note still exists. And in certain cultures, they measure those tiny differences in different ways.
That's
cool. Microtones, we call them.
Nice.
But in Western, sort of the most common musical notation in the modern era, we have seven different letter names. And when you go up from one letter to another, you keep adding a letter. You keep going through the alphabet. A, B, C, D, E, F, G. But after G,
you go back to A.
You go back to A.
But it's like a high A.
It's a higher A. So if I play an A to another A, that low A and high A are both A's. One of them is double the other one's frequency. The higher one is exactly twice the frequency of the lower one. We call them an octave apart. Oct because they're eight notes apart. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Right?
Yeah.
They're the same note, an octave apart, a higher version of the same note, right? So A to A on the piano, for example, is all white keys. But in between those white keys on the keyboard, for example, we have black keys, right? The ebony wood in the original pianos. And on a guitar, between the fifth fret on the low string, A, and the seventh fret on the low string, the B, you have a note in the middle, the sixth fret. What do we do with those? Remember what we call those?
I do.
Yeah, what is it?
Well, I know that between an A and a B is a full step. So halfway between is a half step.
Yeah. So in between most of the letters, we have two notes, actually. We call that a full step for some reason. And not a double step or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then the distance between them is half of that. We call it a half step. So we have seven letter names, but between each octave in Western notation, we actually have 12 different notes. So most, but not all of the letter names have a note in between them, a black key, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if A and B are a whole step apart, there's a note in between them, a half step between the two. Do you remember what we would call that note between A and B?
It depends on which way you're moving.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Bueno.
I got it.
So what would it call if we're going up?
So if you're going up, you'd call it an A sharp. And if you're going down, you'd call it a B flat.
So if you're going A up to B, you're pushing up, you sharpen to A sharp.
Mm-hmm.
Usually if you're falling down, you would flatten the B to B flat.
Crushing it.
Dope. So now there's other reasons too. sometimes certain keys you're going to use sharp, certain flats.
Sure.
We don't need to get into
course,
this, but just to listen to what we're saying, first you're going to hear A and then B, a whole step apart, white keys. And then A sharp B. And then going down B, B flat, A.
And you know, Mark, a little trivia for you, you may not know, is if you're playing an A sharp in a vacuum or playing a B flat in a vacuum, they're going to sound the same, but it depends on the key that the song is in, what you label it as.
The key and the musical context.
And the musical context, of course.
Even in a flat key, if you were going from A to B, you still might use a sharp to say A sharp because you're going up. It all depends.
Mm.
A sharp and B flat sound the same in most cases. I say most cases because there's always
the
weird
outliers.
Tuning that can change.
Mm-hmm.
Those pitches are what we call enharmonically equivalent.
Ooh, I love that.
They sound the same but are spelled different. So like Nicole with an H and Nicole without an H. Mark with a C, Mark with a K, Mark with a Q, U, E.
Ooh.
These would all be...
That's how you spell it, right? The Q, U, E.
And harmonic. There's actually a silent H at the beginning after M-H-A-H-R-Q-U-E.
Ugh.
That's the Irish spelling, right?
I've seen some
Boston
weird
spelling.
Name spelling, so I'm going to get distracted about it.
So those notes change, but fundamentally we're talking about the notes in between. So these are the black keys, but people just think sharp... A sharp means A, but a little high, and B flat means B, but a little low. So same thing. Now, when we talk about something like a step or an octave, we're talking about the distance between the notes. Do you remember what you call the distance between two notes?
The distance between two notes?
Yeah.
Not the steps.
Interval.
Interval. Okay.
Yeah. An octave is a type of interval. A step or a second, it's called a type of interval. Here's some other intervals. We're not getting into how they're named and stuff because there's like perfect fifths and diminished fourths and things like
that.
But here's some examples. So for example, first here's a fifth and then a third and then a seventh and then a 13th.
Oh, I do not like that 13th. It's trouble. I love the seventh though.
13th is good.
I don't know. It feels creepy.
I mean, that's why it's good.
But I think it's also I'm being primed to think 13 is creepy because 13 is like a kind of a creepy number.
So the 13, that's right. That's right. Superstition strikes again. We are recording on Friday the 3rd. No, it's
are we?
It's not. No, it's the 9th.
Gosh.
The 13th there sounds bad because I had just played the major 7th.
Okay.
That's why. So we talked about the Beatles earlier in our last episode. The first interval of In My Life, that really beautiful pew, pew, pew. That's a same interval. It's not a 13th, but a 6th, which is related. Beautiful interval, contextually beautiful. Mm-hmm. If I play a major 7th before, contextually not so beautiful as the relationship was.
Interesting.
But it's all about context, right?
Mm-hmm.
So have you heard me talk about scales before?
Yes.
We've had a few those
like,
come
like
up several times.
It's all you
right?
talk about.
Yeah, it's all I talk about. Talk to my wife. She's like,
she's
so
like,
done.
Stop.
Done with the scales. Scales are a series of notes, a series of pitches, usually prioritizing one. Like there's one that kind of is the king, right?
Mm-hmm.
We usually start and end the scale on that pitch. So when I started, went A, B, C, D, E, F, G, A, that was a scale on A, right?
It's like the home note.
The home note.
Or
and when we
root,
talk about keys,
right?
We call that the tonic, not
tonic.
The root. The root is the word we use when we're talking about chords.
Okay.
Like a C minor chord has C as its root. The key of C minor has a tonic of C. Similar ideas, not quite the same, right?
Cool though.
So you may notice, like we're counting notes with A, B, C, D, E, F, G, A. Why do people always talk about C though? What's the deal? Why is C all the white keys on a major scale on a piano is not A, it's C. Why do people think of C as kind of our most basic? That's the first scale you learn on the flute, probably, right?
Right. And when we have to like tune a band, it's like everyone play a C.
That's interesting. Really?
That's what we did in my high school.
Because like
band.
You tune an orchestra, everybody plays an A because the oboe open, it plays an A440 in very...
Actually, on the flute, I would play a B-flat for tuning.
Yeah, you tune band usually to B-flat, I think, because of the instruments.
Okay, well, whatever. Yeah.
So the thing is, the B-flat for the trumpet in the band is a C.
Maybe that's why...
Yeah. So most of the instruments in the band are B-flat, which... Let's get into that another time. That's annoying. I love it, but it's annoying. So why is C kind of the basic key? Like, my kid's learning piano, and most of the music he plays as a 10-year-old is in C, right? And why not A?
Why not?
And the truth is because these note names predate major scales even existing.
Okay.
So like they decided the lowest note on this collection of whatever will be A. And then later someone figured out, hey, if we start on C, it creates this dope scale.
But then other people later, or like maybe adjacently, they started doing numbers instead of letters, right? Didn't you teach me about that on a podcast once? But the numbers?
They haven't heard that. That comes way later. Spoiler alert for our Nirvana episode. That's right. Never Mind the Music has a Nirvana episode. Big surprise,
Perfect.
Everybody. So we will talk about that. That one is forthcoming, folks.
Oh, so it was really cool. I understood that.
That was a good flexing of my over-education in that episode. So, okay, we have different kinds of scales. Mm-hmm. A major scale is a certain collection of seven notes. You know, you start on one, play seven, end on the same one. The eighth note is the same note. And each of these scales is a combination of half and whole steps. Mm-hmm. And a major scale is just a particular combination of half and whole. Every major scale sounds basically the same. It just starts on a different point.
Hmm.
So if you're somebody like me who has relative pitch but not perfect pitch, I can hear that it's a major scale, but I can't tell you which one it is necessarily. They sound the same.
Remember when we learned that I have perfect pitch?
We learned that you do not have perfect pitch, but you think you did, which is...
I remember it differently.
Which is, do we? Okay, let's let the listeners tell us once they hear the episode. Very, very frequently, I have a student that kind of thinks they have perfect pitch and then is faced with the grim reality that they don't.
Oh.
They have imperfect pitch, which means they have good pitch, but perfect pitch is pretty rare, especially among English speakers.
I'll take good pitch, though.
Good pitch is more useful, actually.
Okay, great.
Less fun party trick, though. Mm. So here's major scales. I've got a few different ones. Listen how they kind of sound the same. They're just different starting points for the same series of half and whole steps. C major. Now E major. Now B flat major. Each of them has a different combination of white and black keys on the piano, for example. There's also minor scales, which is just a different combination. So like C major has no black keys. C natural minor, we call it, has three black keys. So here's for contrast, C major, and then C minor, and now E minor, and B flat minor.
And you know, even if you can't read music or don't understand all of these intervals between notes, like you can get a feeling from major and minor scales and you'll be able to tell just by the way the song feels if it's in a major key or minor key, even if you don't have the vocabulary to attach.
They got a vibe, for sure.
They do have a vibe.
They got a vibe. So the notes in a scale tell us which notes to play in a particular key. So this term key, it's like a collection of notes that orbit a particular note.
Yeah, it's like the legend of a map.
Good. Yeah, it tells you where north is, right? Mm-hmm. And the north is, I already said, the tonic. So if I'm playing this tune here, which is in a major key, notice how the last note feels sort of final and feels stable and done and right.
Hmm.
Ta-da! That feels like home.
If you ended in the middle of that phrase, like we'd want... We'd be unsettled.
We'd be unsettled. More. And sometimes that's a cool musical effect.
Yeah, for sure.
That is a key. The idea of key is not just what notes, but that those notes point towards one note being home.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Cool.
Cool.
So, hey, ChatGPT, remember, we're asking ChatGPT to liven up the class here, our class podcast.
To liven up the party in which knowing perfect pitch is a party trick.
That's right.
So,
absolutely. Hey, ChatGPT, give me a joke about scales. Why did the minor scale get kicked out of a band practice? Because it kept bringing the mood down.
Yeah, again, that's a astute observation.
That is not a joke.
It's not a joke.
Yeah, I'm
but
with
like,
you on
I
that.
Get it.
I get it, yeah.
It helps me understand what a minor scale is, and I think that that's the big takeaway here.
Right. ChatGPT is a good teacher, I guess.
Better than...
All right. Wrapping up here.
Some of us.
Harmony.
Oh,
using
more.
Notes at the same time. When you play notes together, usually three or more... We call that a chord. Technically, two notes is an interval, but two notes can imply a chord. A chord is usually, in Western music, three or more notes. We could play them actually together as what we would call a block chord, or you can play them near each other in time, which we call a broken chord or sometimes an arpeggio. But
oh.
So the chord, you can play a chord on the flute, or a singer can sing a chord, even though they can't play more than one note at a time. You're making our brain connect the dots.
It would just be a broken chord, but we like, it lingers in our ear and we like
exactly
put
right.
the pieces together. That's
exactly right. So here I'm going to play the same chord. This is a C minor 7 chord, a 4-note chord. First we hear them together. And then separate. Our brain will process even that second thing as one idea, a chord, even if the pianist isn't playing them all literally at the same time. It's okay. Not a melody, it's a chord, yeah?
Yeah.
Most chords have 3 notes. Each one's a third apart. That's an interval. We call those triads. You've heard that term?
Yes.
Cool. So like there are 4 kinds of triads. It's very tidy, only 4. The first 2 sound kind of nice. The third and the fourth are a little gnarly. They are, remember that term? When
dissonant.
Something's stable, it's consonant. Yes.
Consonant and dissonant.
And dissonant. We call it consonants with a C-E, not with a T, like a consonant in English. Consonants and dissonance. Consonant stable, dissonance unstable.
It's like the term, it's like cognitive dissonance.
Lovely, yeah.
When Which, like two things, like you know, like you shouldn't smoke cigarettes because they'll kill you, but you still do it anyway.
Spoiler, that's a great topic. And it has not come up on an episode yet.
Really?
It came up in our failed first draft of the Bruno Mars song.
Oh, and we never went back.
And we went back with a different topic.
How funny.
So
season 2.
Put a pin in it. Cognitive
I love
dissonance
it. Oh, it's so
is
good.
A lovely, terrifyingly
well, we
destructive
all do it.
Concept.
Like, we know we should eat right and exercise, but
that's right.
All I want is key lime pies now.
Dipped in chocolate. So here we go. This is a major triad. Minor triad. And now dissonance, an augmented.
Oh, no.
Also dissonant, a diminished triad.
I like the diminished one the best, for sure.
Diminished
sounds
are pretty
like an
nice.
Old Western.
Interesting. I don't know. There's suspense there.
Mm.
We could sometimes add a fourth note.
Okay.
The most common fourth note to add, we would call a seventh.
Oh, sure.
There's 5 seventh chords. You're going to hear a lot of these in pop music and stuff, the type of stuff we talk about. Here's one called a major 7 chord. This is a dominant 7 chord. A minor 7 chord. A half diminished 7 chord. Also called a minor 7 flat 5 for jazz players.
You said there were only 4.
That's a fully diminished at the end. And I said there were 5.
Oh,
4
gosh.
Triads, 5 diminished.
Okay.
Some of those pretty tense there, right?
It is. This is getting more complicated than I thought it was going to.
Well, notice I'm not telling you anything about these.
Okay. Oh, there's more.
I'm telling you what they are.
Oh,
no,
gosh.
No, there's more, and maybe we'll have episodes
on them.
It
like goes forever,
yeah,
huh?
Like you got to learn how to use them and how to invert them and all the different, yeah.
It's like you could get a whole doctorate.
It's almost like you cannot
stuff.
Get a doctorate in reading music. You can get a doctorate in music theory or composing.
And
music.
That's what you have.
That's right.
Doctor.
Dr. Mark, right?
Love that. You should do that more.
That's my rap name, right? Dr.
When
Mark.
When you like check into hotels and they make you like select on the drop down menu, do you say Mr. or do you say Doctor?
I try not to do the doctor thing.
Oh, I
because
think it's the
I don't
only
wanna,
reason to get a
I don't
want to
be called in when there's an injury on a plane or something.
All right. Is there a doctor? You're like, yes.
I mean, I would love to just to troll the world, but I'm probably causing someone to die or something if I do that. So the thing is, these chords all go together in a lot of cases to make something we call a chord progression.
Mm-hmm.
A chord progression is a series of chords, but the word progression also implies progress. So the theory nerd in me would only want to use the word progression for a tonal progression, something that's pointing towards a key. But casually, people use progression just to mean any series of chords in a row. So here's a chord progression I beautifully authored. It goes G minor, A half diminished 7, D dominant 7, and E flat major.
It sounds better when you play it than when you say it.
Good. I hope that's true for any piece of music I ever create.
Because it's not that, like, majestic.
It's not
really.
Majestic. E flat major, A flat half diminished
7th or whatever.
Hey, ChatGPT. Hey. Give me a joke about chords. Why did the 1-5-6-4 progression go to therapy?
Hold on, let me figure
1-5-6-4 would be a series of chords, right?
Because it's out of sync or out of order or something. Or
because it felt like it was always being used and never truly appreciated.
Oh, buddy.
So this one requires you to know that that's an overused progression in pop songs, which is interesting. ChatGPT has picked up through various blog posts that 1-5-6, that's like going C, G, A minor, F is common. And it's, whoa, it's talking about therapy. This last joke is like hitting at this
like,
podcast.
It like knows us.
I think we better stop because we're not getting any better than that.
No.
That wasn't funny, but it actually captured
the podcast.
All,
that's it, folks.
Kill it. Never Mind the Music is hosted by me, Mark Poppany, and Nicole Thatcher. I also produce the podcast. Please be sure to subscribe and leave us a rating and a review.
And let us know what you think on social media. We're Never Music Pod on all major platforms. You can also send us an email at nevermusicpod@gmail.com. And every so often, we'll do a mailbag episode where we answer your burning questions.
Thanks for listening.